Today's guest, Ange Dove, started up her initial company 20 years ago. Coming from a corporate background, she felt the call to start something herself. And even though a lot of friends told her she was crazy, her husband said, go for it. She had plans to work from home, but since this was the dawn of the mainstream internet and cloud computing wasn't even a thing, she had somewhat painted herself into a corner with success. She got big enough that she needed to hire people, which meant the need for office space. It's been a wild ride since then. We talked about the good old days before Google and about dial-up internet, along with some key concepts that have helped both of us in business. Things like, nothing in nature is a straight line. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. Nothing is ever as bad as you think it'll be. But ultimately, if you feel a call toward entrepreneurship, just do it. If you'd like to find out more about Ange, head over to angedove.com and maybe even book an appointment to chat further with her. Let's jump into the episode, already in progress. It's been a little bit touch and go here in St. Louis too, and I know a lot of people are just, they're like, oh, we're kind of staying at home, we're just gonna, you know, chill here. So, you know, but little pockets of folks getting together.
It's getting worse in some places and it's getting better in others. So yeah. Like in Singapore, we don't really have any cases really.
Right. Yeah.
But there's always that worry, I guess, that there would be. But in the UK, they're on going into total lockdown again for the whole country because it's their cases have really spiked. It's like 50,000 a day, new cases. So,
yeah. Boy, are they competing with the US or what's the deal? No, we can't be number one in everything. Come on, let's beat them. Come on, let's go around and lick doorknobs. We can beat the US. We can beat the colonies. I love it.
It's never ending.
It is never ending. I mean, it will end sometime. It will. Yeah. I hope that that's something that, like, you know, even the Spanish flu back then was like, it ended after a while.
That peaked it out, right?
It did. It did. Yeah. So, well, it's good to chat with you again. I always appreciate your uplifting attitude. So tell me a little bit about, just kind of catch me up a little bit here. No, that was sincere. You do have an uplifting attitude. I know we're talking about morbid stuff, like people are dying, but hey, you know, but so walk me through again, kind of refresh my memory. What does your company do? And then how did you decide to start it up?
Okay. So there's two parts to this actually. So my initial company that I started 20 years ago, really, it was started as a copywriting company. So I was writing content and doing copywriting for mostly multinational companies. So I'd contact them and do their, whether it's like websites, brochures, press releases, stuff like that. So it was all writing. And the reason I set that up really was it was just at the dawn of the internet, really. Right. We just got the first home computer and then realized that, okay, I could actually work from home. So, and I wanted to work from home. I just had two kids. They were young at the time, little toddlers. So I just wanted to work from home. And so I set the business up really green, I have to say, how to even operate a computer.
Yeah.
When a client asked me to send the first piece of work through, send us an attachment, I was like, a what?
And it's not like
I had to phone a friend.
Well, it's not like you can Google it for like what's an attachment? Yeah. Like it's not even
there. Wasn't any Google, no. Yeah. Alta Vista for what it was worth.
Yeah.
So I actually had to phone a friend. I had, she was running a business, so I phoned her and said, "How'd you send an attachment?" She was going, "I don't know."
You're killing me, Smalls. Can't business like this. Now it's amazing though, like what we have available now. I can't really think of a time. Yeah.
Can you remember dial up, like? Oh,
I can.
And then no one could be on the phone, right?
I know.
You're on the internet.
Yeah, you're yelling, "Mom, don't answer the phone. It's my friend. We're playing a game." Oh, that just brings back memories. And the noise.
Yeah, that awful noise that just makes you cringe now.
It does.
If you heard that, it would just,
I know, right? It's nostalgia.
And that's it. People don't realize how lucky they are, actually, how quick everything happens, how easily we can do this. Mm-hmm. But this wouldn't have happened a few years ago just for the lag of the internet connection, right?
Oh, yeah. So, even 5 years ago, it probably would have been a stretch. Yeah. I mean, it was there.
Yeah.
But we would have been like blipping in and out and stuff. Unless you were here in the US with me, it'd be like, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? Hello? Are you frozen? So that happens. No, I can remember. So I got a funny story for you. So back when I was a kid, a wee lad, I used to get online and play games with friends and stuff, and it was on dial-up. And my dad, once in a while, he'd look in and he'd be like, oh, he's on the computer. He's on the internet. So he'd go in the next room and he'd pick up the phone and he'd blow into the receiver, like phones that are corded, right? You hold it in your hand and it would make that noise. Well, it would confuse the modem and the modem would just like, okay, I'm done, and just kick me off. And I'd be like, what just happened? Well, he was blowing into the phone and that's what did it. And I'm like, ugh. So yeah, I come from a long line of trolls. I'm sorry, you had to learn that about me here on a podcast, but here we are. So, well, Well, I was gonna say, like, what have been some of the, I guess, like some of the bigger challenges you've overcome on this entrepreneurial journey? I'm sure you've got at least a couple.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. So So as I say, when I set up the business because I just wanted to work from home, that didn't actually work out because I actually got quite successful, I would say. I got a lot of demand for business, so I couldn't handle it all myself. So I had to hire staff. So because I had to hire staff, there was no cloud in those days. So I had to get an office. So I actually got myself a job, basically employing myself in an office, going to and fro every day in the office. So that kind of the plan didn't really work out at that stage. And then the other thing was that although I knew what I wanted to do and I knew I wanted that freedom, and I wanted to be able to initially work from home or at least plan my time around my family rather than the other way around. If I had a job, I wouldn't have that luxury. So that's what I wanted to do. But having the business and then having staff and then realizing, okay, I'm responsible now for these people's incomes. I've got to pay my office rent. Suddenly I realized, okay, I'm running a business. And I had no idea how to run a business, basically, because I had no training. It wasn't a plan. It was never a plan for me to actually do it. So I found initially, I would say negotiating with customers would be one thing that was a challenge, was setting my prices and sticking to them and having that recognition, I guess, the value of what I do and not coming down on my prices. So I found that very difficult at first. So that was one thing. Another thing was actually handling staff and hiring the right people. That I had no experience of doing either. So I actually hired a coach to help me with that.
Right.
And that coach helped me to actually systemize my whole business and put everything really on autopilot and document everything and make sure everything worked. So that really helped a lot. And then when I realized that when I started actually putting the right ads out with the right requirements for people, I got a much better quality of people applying for the job. So then it was much easier to hire and then hire the right people. And then you realize that when you do hire the right people, everything changes. It's just so much smoother. It's just like a different business.
Yeah, it is. It is. I have been blessed to hire the right people, you know. Back, I mean, before the pandemic, I had some staff, but we had some stuff happen and we had to let people go, unfortunately, which that's like, that's another aspect of business ownership that people don't realize. It's like,
I've been through that.
It's hard, you know?
Yeah, but, it is. That's the worst thing, actually.
It is. And you feel like such a tool, like, oh my goodness, I failed these people. But looking back, just talking with other business owners, they're like, you know, it does suck. And and it's like, if it doesn't hurt, you're a sociopath. So we got great news for you. If it sucks for you to let people go, it's like, hey, you're a human person. Amazing.
Yeah. That happened to me with the 2008 recession. Mm-hmm. I ended up in an office on my own. I'd lost all my staff and I just couldn't afford. I remember I went for lunch with a friend and I just said to my friend, what am I going to do? It's like, I've got these expenses that I can't do anything about. These are my expenses. They're fixed expenses. And I've had $1,000 in sales this month. what am I going to do? I've never been in that situation. And then, so what I did at that time was I tried to put my staff on, rather than let them go, I tried to put them on half time.
Right.
So I went part time and I paid them half the salary. And then I negotiated with the landlord to half the rent. And he agreed, which he was lovely. He was really lovely. And I was really blessed to have him.
Yeah.
And I think he just realized that having half the rent is better than none, because of the recession, the way it was, he wasn't going to get another tenant.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's tough times. And I think this is the thing about running a business. It is up and down. It's cycles. And it's, you know, someone said to me actually the other day that nothing in nature is a straight line. Mm-hmm. Everything in a straight line is man-made.
Yeah.
Right. So, and therefore business is the same. Like, your business is not going to go in a straight line. It's going to go, you know, up and down. So it's just one of the things you have to accept, I think, as you run a business.
That is a really awesome quote. Nothing in nature is a straight line. I should steal that and do something in Canva with that. Seriously, because it's like,
yes,
you're right. You're right. Yeah. It is. Well, I was talking with somebody just the other day, and I said, you know what's really weird about business ownership? And he goes, what? I said, you know, in a sense, we are creating order out of chaos. You know, mm-hmm. we're trying to take all the crazy noise and dampen that and create a straight line for people that we want to have come work for us, right? Because not everybody's wired like us. Well, they're not weirdos like us entrepreneurs are. They like stability. And you and I are like, I mean, I don't want things to get so easy and predictable that I get fat and happy, right? It's like, I got to have some challenge. But, you know, we're pushing against that idea of, hey, you know, we're going to make sense out of chaos. We're going to make something out of nothing, essentially. And it's hard. It's hard, but it's worth it.
It is worth it. I wouldn't do anything else now. I mean, I've been on both sides. I've been an employee for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when I first set out my business as well, that was another thing. When I first announced to everyone, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. Everybody told me, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Except for my husband. He was the only one who said, if you want to go and do it, go and do it. Everybody else was like, no. But the reason they're like that is that they wouldn't be the kind of people to set up a business anyway.
Right.
Right. So to them, it would just sound like it's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right?
They're kind of projecting, you know, like they're putting themselves in your shoes and be like, oh, my goodness, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. So obviously you shouldn't. It's like, I'm not you, yo. Yeah. I'm just a different person.
It's like, do what you want to do. That's one advice I would say. Like, I don't know. It's like, if you actually even think about it, if you even actually just think about starting a business, that means there's something inside you that means you're ready to actually do it. Even if you have the fears, if it even crosses your mind, then go for it, I would say. Yeah.
Yep. I hope that people listening to this are taking that to heart, because sometimes we go through life and we hear that call, but we ignore it. And we think, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. It's like, you're never going to be ready. You just got to jump in and do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like jumping into an icy cold pond, right? It's like, you just, you do it and it's a shock, but you'll adapt and you'll figure things out.
Exactly. It's like having children, right? You're never actually really ready to have children.
Oh, my goodness.
Suddenly it happens and then you got to deal with it.
Oh, my goodness. Shoot, we've got 4 girls and I'm still not ready. And the oldest one's 10 and the youngest one is 4. And I'm like, I'm not ready for this. And it's like, well, too late. It's already here. The warranty's up. You can't trade them in.
You're in it. You have to deal with it, right?
You got
to. And it's never as bad as you think it's going to be. As well, I think that's another thing, is that when, not like children's having bad, I'm not saying that, but you know, this thing of, we have these fears and we always kind of imagine the worst case scenario, and really usually the worst case scenario never happens. It's something a little bit more in your comfort zone. So
it is. You get to that point and you're like, oh, that wasn't that didn't suck nearly as bad as I thought it was going to.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
But you make all these things up in your mind and they're just not based on reality at all.
Right? Wow. Are you me? Have you stolen my brain? It sounds like we've got identical, like, personalities in this regard. I tell people, I've run into a couple folks that recently I was saying, you know, I have this tendency, and this might sound a little bit weird, but like I'll come up with situations in my head to worry about, or arguments where I'm like, I can win this argument, and it's totally fabricated. And they just look at me like, are you crazy? And I'm like, you don't do that? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, maybe I am crazy. But I mean, as entrepreneurs, we tend to sometimes overthink things, and we have to, like, you know, push against that that fight or flight response. We're trying to be prepared for everything.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, not everything's going to happen, you know?
Exactly. And it's like you say as well, if it's 80% there, do it, right? Don't wait for that. Because that was one of the things that I used to face a lot, was it had to be perfect. Like, for example, 3 years ago, I would not have been able to get on camera and talk to you like this, because I hated being on video. I hated even being in front of a camera to have my picture taken. I absolutely hated it. It's like, turn that thing off. No, I don't want to talk to you, right? Yeah. And then I had a business coach that said to me, just send me a testimonial on video. And I was like, can I just write it? I'll just email it to you. No, I want it on video. Oh God, oh no. So I started to try and record this video, and it took me at least 2 hours to do a 30-second clip. Mm-hmm. Because I was just too critical of myself, and that's not good enough. Try again. That's not good enough. Then by the time I kind of got it nailed, the lighting had changed and it was no good, and I had to move to a different place. So that's how bad it was, right? This perfectionist attitude. And that's it. It's when you're a perfectionist, nothing happens, because you're never ready, or it's never good enough, right?
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah. Perfect is the enemy of good enough is something that I have to remind myself. And I said that one time to my wife, and she's like, I hate that saying. And I'm like, why? And I mean, to her, and she's not a perfectionist either. I think some people hear that and they think, well, you're just cutting corners in favor of getting something done. And it's like, no, we're actually not. Like, there's a point at which you could keep improving and keep refining, but your return is a diminishing return after a while. It's
exactly.
Like, the only thing you get is a good warm fuzzy that I did the best possible. Well, okay, but you're holding up a release.
Nobody's going to appreciate it.
Nobody's going to appreciate it, you know? And we're only, and it's almost like we're artists in a way, you know, and we always see our flaws. Like, oh my goodness, they're going to see it. They're going to think it's a piece of crap. And it's like, no.
Yeah. And then you get this amazing response, and it's like, Why are they acting that way, right? So you're your own worst critic. Well, I am my own worst critic. So.
Well, I am too, because again, we have the same brain. This is why I remember the first time you and I chatted, just to get to know each other, and I'm like, I'm gonna get along great with her, and I realize now it's because you think like me, or I think like you,
right?
You know, we think like each other. So
yeah,
awesome.
Being through the same experiences, like that. This thing about like perfecting things, it's the same with my copywriting, for example. And this is what I used to say to my staff, like, after a certain amount of time, it's not worth going back to it and looking again, because you will always find a way to improve it, always,
right?
But it just comes a point where is it worth the time? No, right? We're getting paid to do a certain amount for this, and after that point, when it's okay, you know, you can always go back and just, you know, and this is the thing with writers. I think a lot of writers go through is it has to be perfect, and they're constantly correcting and rewriting things to the point where, you know, that piece of work will never be released.
Right.
Because it's never perfect.
Right. Yeah. Well, so are there things that you have learned about yourself in this journey? Like, what notable things that you're like, I never would have thought that about myself. You got something?
Oh, I never would have thought that about myself. I mean, one of them was, I never would have thought I would run a business.
Yeah.
That's one.
That's like a free bingo square. Come on, you can't use that. No, I'm joking. No, but I mean, that is really cool. Years ago. Yeah, well, that is cool, because I think the same way about myself. I intended to be, you know, working corporate my whole life and work some and be there just do things for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years and retire with like a gold plated watch or whatever. And Life has a tendency to disrupt your plans. So
yeah,
here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, you never realize what you have until you just step out and do it.
Yeah, I think so. And I think for me as well, I would say just this stubbornness. I don't know if it's stubborn, just never giving up kind of thing. But I'm not going to let this beat me. I'm going to do this. Right. And I think another thing as well for me is a kind of a restlessness that I've got to move on to the next thing. After a while, I get a bit, I won't say bored, but I want to do something else. I'm always looking at expanding, I would say, doing the next, right, and looking ahead. So, and that's kind of why I've kind of, in a way, come full circle, because before I started my business, I was teaching English. And the teaching bug has kind of never really left.
Yeah.
And so I sort of come full circle now. And now I've set up a training arm to my business where I'm teaching other people how to do what I do.
Okay.
So, and it's basically teaching, whether it's stay-at-home mums or it's career professionals that want to leave the 9-to-5 and actually set up that business that they wanted to, then I'm teaching them how to actually go and do that, because that's what I did. So I'm basically saying, look, I did it 20 years ago. And now it's never been easier, actually, to set up a business. We've got all this technology that allows us to do it at a much cheaper price than we used to ever be able to do it before. And technology has improved so much. It's just, you know, and I've just chosen the easiest technology possible and just like, just get it out there and just do it. Yeah. So make everything easy.
It has. I mean, anymore, everything is as a service. You can serviceify, if that's even a word, anything, even creating a business. So it's like, if you feel that call, it's like, just execute on it, just do it. And there's probably 17 different ways that you can do the same thing. And there's a bajillion people out there that'll help you. And the ideas that are really good, the ones that have muster, they'll stick around. They'll stick around. I like how you mentioned stubbornness. I call it tenacity, because people are like, oh, he's a stubborn.
That's a better word.
Tenacity.
That's a better word.
Yes. You know? I'm like,
tenacious.
Yeah. Because I mean, if my wife calls me stubborn, it's like, wait a minute.
It's negative, right?
Yeah. She doesn't like that about me. She doesn't like that quality. But if always tenacious, it's like, oh yes, positive. Ha ha. There we go. Awesome. Well,
it depends who you're talking to about me, whether it's positive or negative.
Well, it's good to be hated by the right people, you know. Well, what do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship just 5 years ago?
I think that was it about 5 years ago or so, the cloud really came in. Mm. I think if I'd have known, I don't know if I'd have known about the cloud, I mean, I wouldn't have known about the cloud earlier because it wasn't there, but just the fact that, I don't know, that you have, like, the cloud for me has made everything so easy, right? Because before that came along, as I said, I wanted to work from home and I couldn't, because I had to have staff and I had to have an office. So I was running a brick and mortar business. So being able to sort of reverse that now and go back home and be able to run the same business exactly the same way, but on the cloud, has just been an absolute godsend, really. This is the way I've dreamed my life to be.
Yeah.
Right.
So you were ahead of your time. Like,
I was always ahead of my time, right? No, I'll tell you, there was a story, right? I wanted a CRM system, right? This was when the business first started, it was 20 odd years ago or so. And we looked on the internet and like Googled what could possibly be there, or searched what could be there that would help us. And this company answered our query and said, oh, I'll come in and we'll show you what we've got. So they came into the office and she showed us what it was. And we went, oh God, this is exactly what we want, exactly what we want. So she said, okay, I'll send you a quote. So she went away, sent the quote. And the quote was, it was astronomical. And it was like, she phoned me up a few days later, you know, what do you think of the quote? And I was like, you did see my business, right? You did understand what I was doing,
yeah,
where I am, how many employees I've got, right? I said, I'm sorry, we can't do this. It's ridiculous. So then we called another guy And he said he would build it for us from scratch. Mm-hmm. And he gave us quite a fair price to do that. But you don't know what you're going to get at the end of it, right? Because he hasn't built it yet. So we don't want to go that route. So then we thought we'd try again. So we got another company that came in. And then they built that CRM for us. Mm-hmm. And not built it, but it was already there. And they customized it for us. So so we had that. So that was before you had all these apps that are now available on the cloud. So you could get you got your pick of CRMs now, but there wasn't that at that time, right?
Right.
So then when the cloud came and all these apps started turning up and, oh, I can do that. I can do my project management with this one. I can do my accounts with this one. I can, you know, it just streamlined everything for me and it just made business so much easier. And as I said, then I can work from home. I work with people around the world. I don't, you know, I don't have to have physical staff in the office to be able to do what I do. Yep. So it's just changed everything. So yeah, I think that wasn't something that was possible even 5 years ago, I think, really.
I don't think it was either.
And then when COVID came, I thought I was okay because I was like, well, nothing's going to change for me. I'm working from home. Everything's right. Fine. I don't have to go out. I mm-hmm. don't want to. But what happened for me was that then my customers, who were still mostly multinational companies, so they're big companies, they're not so agile. And although they're supposed to have all these processes in place to manage business continuity, they pretty soon found out they hadn't put those processes in place properly. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was getting from customers, I was getting things. Oh, sorry, we can't pay you because we're not in the office and we need to be in the office to go and get whatever, ABC, XYZ, and have someone sign the check or whatever, you know, or even just to make the payment online. Still, they couldn't do it because they had to be in the office to do it. Right.
Yep.
So that sort of made me realize, okay, I'm actually more advanced than they are in that sense, right? Yeah. I've got my processes in place. It was they that couldn't move forward when they were in lockdown. So that was an issue.
Yeah.
I
think that the pandemic has definitely turned up a lot of shortcomings with a lot of companies, things that people are like, well, I never would have thought this would be a problem, but you know, when you stress test your processes in a company, it's like, hello, and then you got to address it. And that's, man, if you can't pay people that are working for you, people will not work for you. That's a big problem. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's made a lot of larger business realize that they need to move on digitization, which they haven't done. Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's been, and then it's like looking at people online that have been able to keep their business going. There was one lady that I interviewed for my podcast, actually. And she had told me that she contacted me and said, how are you? How are you doing in COVID? And I'm like, I'm okay. How are you? Because she had a retail business. So I said, how's your business going? Because obviously this was during lockdown in Singapore. And nobody could go out. So the shops weren't open. So her business wasn't running. So she said, oh, I've had to close two of my stores completely. I've had to just let them go. And I've only got my flagship store still there, but obviously we're closed. And I said, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. And she said, actually, no, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, no, because my son has been on at me to start marketing online and I never did it because I just thought, no, I don't need it. And she said, now I need it. So I've done it. And she says, I've made more in this month than I would make in 2 months in the retail store. So she says, the best thing that's ever happened to me. So now she's got two revenue streams because the retail shops reopened. So she's still got that going, but she's continuing with marketing online and she's selling online as well, which she would never have done. She would never have done that if it hadn't been for COVID.
Yep. I know it's uncomfortable, but this is a time when a lot of people are evolving and they're just changing and growing. There's a good buddy of mine that I was talking with and he runs a company and they're a software testing company. And right now software testing is kind of not in vogue. You know, people are trying to make money. They're not as concerned about saving money, which that's fair. Right. That's fine. But he and his head of marketing that he's got working with him, they wrote a book, and it's a fictional book about how this really brainy guy and this basketball coach teamed up, and they were like, well, let's figure out how to get some statistics and some KPIs around how to play the game of basketball. And they sold a bunch of these books, and some of those people that read the books are like, this sounds really feasible. Can you guys actually make this? Like, is this a thing that you can do? And they said, well, yeah, we can do that. And so now they're working on a platform for that sort of thing. So it's just like, I never would have guessed that this guy would go that direction. And it's like, and it's because of COVID. It's because of COVID. I know business was really hard for him. And it's like, what in the world, man? Never would have guessed. I met the guy finally in person like last year sometime. And this is well before COVID was even on the radar. Took a trip out there and met him halfway. And he's a great guy. And I just never thought that they'd go that direction. And it's like, it's really cool. And it's scary, but it's still pretty cool. So
it is cool. Is that when you're doing something that we would never have occurred to you beforehand? And then
right.
So that's like, you never know what's going to happen. You never know.
Yep. But you got to be open to change too. You know, that part of going back to what you said about how nothing in nature is a straight line. I mean, the reason why rivers meander is, you know, they always take the path of least resistance. They're not going to waste the energy trying to say, I'm going to go this way. It's like, there's a rock in the way. Okay. Go around it. You know, and it moves and changes. Yeah, I've seen pictures and like aerial views of rivers and stuff, and you can see where they used to go, and then they move and change and stuff, and then it's like, they don't stay going that way forever. So there's some deep philosophical stuff in here today, Ange. I know that I got enough content here to last for a while. Like furiously taking notes. I'm like, ooh, that's good. That's a good soundbite. It's like a fortune cookie sized thing, you know.
Well, here's another one then as well. So
here we go.
The only thing that is constant is change.
I like that.
The only thing that's constant is change.
Yeah. Can you hear me typing, or can you see my fingers wiggling? Well, it's old Jerry Gold. Awesome. Well, as we finish up here, and it's awesome. It's always awesome talking to you. And I hope we get the chance to talk more often, because this is my first podcast of the morning. And it's like, I feel pretty dang good after talking to you. I'm like, all right. So, well, how would people find you if they wanted to engage you with some work? Like, how would they find you?
Okay. So I think the easiest way to find me is go to my personal webpage. That's angedove.com. So A-N-G-E-D-O-V-E, angedove.com. And another way would be to actually book an appointment with me. And that would be, I've got a calendar booking thing on the website, so they can actually book time with me and speak to me that way as well.
Cool. Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure chatting with you. And I wish you all the best now that we're in 2021 and everybody's like, all right, January 1st, everything is going to just go back to normal. And it's like, no, it's not. But hey, we're going to just keep going. We're going to keep meandering and changing and seeing what happens and adapting. And hey, we'll be different people by this time next year. I can guarantee it.
Things will have happened. Yes.
Yes. Things are definitely happening here. So, well, awesome. It's good chatting with you. I will let you get back to the rest of your day.
All right, my day's finished.
I know. Hey, go to bed. You did great. Pack it in. You did good. Well, I will chat with you later, and looking forward to getting this published for you. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Take care.
Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too. Bye-bye. Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast? Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on and also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at our StevOps.